Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message comes from Psalm 77. So I'd ask everyone to turn there in the hymnal right now. We will read the psalm responsively by whole verse. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me.
In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted.
When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints.
You hold my eyelids open. I am so
I consider the days of old, the years long ago.
I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search.
Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable?
Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time?
Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion?
Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the ears of the right hand of the Most High.
I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old.
I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds.
Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph.
When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled.
The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder, your arrows flashed on every side.
The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook.
Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen.
You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I think about meditation, the first image that comes to mind is the image of Buddhist monks in yellow or orange robes sitting perfectly still on mountaintops in lotus position, hands out and humming a mantra. It's weird, it's foreign, it's not something I'm particularly interested in doing. But that's not really what meditation is. Dictionary.com defines meditation as follows: continued or extended thought, reflection, contemplation, devout religious contemplation, or spiritual introspection. In fact, Scripture itself encourages meditation, as we heard in Psalm 77 that we read together just a few moments ago. Or, or else in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Or else Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Even Psalm 19, 14, how we open the sermon, says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In fact, variants on meditate appear 23 times in the Bible, most of them in the book of Psalms. So meditation really is not something scary to be feared. It is actually something good for us as God's people to do. Why? Because meditation takes time away from our busyness. In the midst of a hectic world, and believe me, the world around us is very hectic, just look at your schedule, it is important to take time for rest. And we actually find this command in the third commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The Sabbath is a day of the week in the Old Testament, Saturday. In the New Testament, we celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday when we gather to worship and pray. But the Sabbath is more than just a day of rest. Sabbath actually in Hebrew simply means rest. With the world around us pulling us in so many different directions, it is important to take time away. If you look at your calendar, you will realize just how busy you are. This was illustrated for me quite clearly when I was in college. One of our required general education classes had us take a week of our schedule and then break down how much time we spent doing each thing. So much time working, so much time in classes, so much time eating, so much time doing homework, so much time watching TV or reading or sleeping, all of these different things down the list. As I was filling out my schedule and adding everything up, I came up with about 300 total hours that I spent doing things during the week. If you're good at math, you know that there are only 168 hours in a week. That is quite impressive, just how busy I was. Television, movies, all the different voices in our head can drown out what is really important. Given our busy and hectic lives that we lead, we need to take time away, take time for meditation. However, what do we meditate on? Now, there are two different forms of meditation, or two different examples of meditation that we can look to. First, of course, the one that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon is Eastern meditation, what we see in Buddhism, in Hinduism, and the like. Buddhism, in particular, teaches this form of meditation, which focuses on the self to gain enlightenment from within. The objective is to look within and find a spark of divine within the self. However, as Christians, we know that this kind of meditation, that which looks inside ourselves, is problematic. When we look inside ourselves, we will see one of two things. We will see our own failures and our own sinfulness, our own broken sinful nature, or perhaps even worse, we will see ourselves hypocritically and be puffed up by our own seeming righteousness. You look inside and you will either see sin or self-righteousness. If you find your sinful nature within, that actually may be more productive than the other. We are, after all, to examine ourselves before confession and before the sacrament to acknowledge our sins. Before communion, it is especially important to examine ourselves to ask, are we sorry for our sins? Do we believe Jesus' words in the sacrament? Do we seek to amend our sinful lives? However, this only works when you are also looking beyond what you find inside. Looking within and finding God actually means that you have become your own God. And that is not God-pleasing meditation. And so, how can we as Christians practice meditation in a God-pleasing way? We look in Psalms and we look in Scripture to see the to see what the focus is to be, and the focus is God's Word. Focus our thoughts on God's Word, and that is the ultimate focus of meditation, is Scripture. In Psalm 1, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." We might say, blessed is the man who does not look inside himself for God, but his delight instead is on the law of the Lord, and on God's law he meditates day and night. Or then in Psalm 119, as I said, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways, your meaning, God. Or Psalm 63, I remember you on my bed and meditate on you, meaning God, in the watches of the night. The focus of our meditation is on God and on his word. And then, focusing on God's word, we take time to wait. To wait for God to speak to us through his word. In Psalm 37, the psalmist says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him." Or in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and wait, pondering on the meaning of God's word for yourself in your life." Ask yourself these questions. How is God speaking to you today? Are you convicted by your sins, by what you read in Scripture, and in need of the consolation of his forgiveness? Are you in spiritual turmoil and in need of his peace that passes understanding? Do you need God's wisdom to direct your paths? All of these are good questions to ask yourself while focusing on God's word, and receive what God tells you from his word. After all this talk about meditation, perhaps it would be a good idea to actually try meditating. I want you to just stay where you are in your pew and close your eyes. Listen as I read today's epistle reading from Romans 5. Let the words guide your meditation. What is God saying to you about who he is? What is God saying to you about who and whose you are? You may not resonate with the same verse as the person next to you. That's okay. Just when you get to a verse or word that resonates with you, think on that verse or that word and what God is saying to you. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for justifying us through the death of your Son, Jesus. Give us faith to embrace the forgiveness you give us. Help us constantly to trust in you even in the midst of suffering, knowing that your love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.